What does it mean to deny Jesus? That's what we're going to find out in today's broadcast of Grace in Focus. Hi, and welcome to the program. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We have an incredibly important subject today, one that many people seem to be confused about. We're currently in a series going through the New Testament book of 1 John. It's a little book with big implications. Today, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to walk us through this concept, what it means to deny and acknowledge Christ. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, we are continuing our series in 1 John, and we're discovering all kinds of principles about living the deeper Christian life, that life that is in fellowship with God, where you're more than just born again, you're actually walking with God, learning to be with Him, and learning what it means to walk in the light instead of the darkness. Well, we have reached verse 21, and we're going to try to get from 21 to 27 in this episode.
In chapter 2.
In chapter 2.
Yeah.
So let me start by just reading verse 21. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Okay, is there something to be said about that verse?
Sure. The previous verse, you'll remember that John had said, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. What he means there, as we said the last time, is not that they're omniscient, but that they know all basic Christian truth and even much advanced Christian truth. And so they don't need instructions from any false teachers. That's where he's leading to. And when he says now in verse 21, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, he's building off of what he just said. They know the truth, and they also know the fact that no lie is of the truth.
Now, that seems kind of obvious, but why would he say that?
Because the false teachers are liars. And remember, all the way in chapter 1, multiple times he talked about the false statements of 1, 6, 8, and 10. In chapter 2, earlier in the chapter, he talked about people being a liar if they say they're walking in fellowship with God and yet they're walking in darkness, or if they say they're walking in fellowship with God and they hate their brother. And so here, he's reminding them that there's no lie of the truth, and he's going to the point that the false teachers are liars.
Right. He's uncovering the fact that even though they're trying to appear spiritual, that is absolutely not true because they're lying to them.
They may talk about higher knowledge, but
they don't have
that's
it.
Not it.
It's all a lie. So verse 22, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Okay, so this is interesting. So somehow these false teachers were either explicitly or probably implicitly denying that Jesus is the Christ. Okay, now we all know that word Christ, but we don't always know what it means.
Right.
So what does it mean for Jesus to be the Christ? What are they denying?
I like your word somehow. You see, I think John is being rather ambiguous here on purpose. I don't think he's trying to say there was one false teaching only that the readers were being confronted with. As you know, one of the false teachings about Christ is called docetism, from the Greek word meaning seems. It seems. And so some people say Jesus seemed to be a man, but that really Jesus was simply some sort of a manifestation of God the Father, but he was not really a man.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't really die on the cross, and he didn't really rise from the dead. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a man at all. Another heresy is that Jesus was only a man until his baptism. At his baptism, when the Spirit descended on him, that's when God took up residence within him and he became the God-man. And then when he goes to the cross, God departs from him and the man dies.
Mm.
That's also called heresy.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a whole bunch of other heresies, all related to the fact that Jesus is the Christ. And, of course, the Christ means the anointed one. It means the Messiah. It means the King of Israel. It means the one who guarantees everlasting life to the believer. And ultimately, in this context, in some way, they're denying it. And they're denying something about the actual bodily presence of Jesus Christ on earth.
And John is saying anyone who does that is an antichrist.
Right.
So not just this future figure that's going to appear during the 7-year tribulation period, but anyone who denies Jesus is the Christ is in some way an antichrist themselves.
Right.
All right, verse 23, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. This is really important because this relates to Christianity's exclusive claims. And I remember Jesus in John 14 saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus makes exclusive claims. The only way to know God the Father is through his Son. And if you claim to know the Father but you're denying the Son, you are self-deceived. You do not know the Father if you're rejecting the Son.
Well, remember in John chapter 5, where that's what Jesus's Jewish audience, for the most part, was claiming. We believe in the Father, we just don't believe in you. And Jesus said in verse 24, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. What Jesus was saying there was, in order to believe the Father who sent Jesus, you have to believe Jesus' words. You cannot accept and believe the Father unless you believe his emissary, which is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. And I was just reading headlines recently how the Pope, Pope Francis, saying that Christians and Muslims worship a common God. I've seen so-called evangelicals and Protestants make that same kind of declaration that, oh, it's all the same God. We all have the same God, ultimately. But I think John would take issue with that. He would say, no,
right.
If you deny the Son, you don't have the Father either.
That's right. That's right. Obviously, John is Trinitarian, right?
Right.
And all the authors of Scripture are Trinitarian, and we're Trinitarian, and we believe that God is one, but he's made up of three persons. Now, mm-hmm. I don't understand that. I don't know how that happens, but it's true. Mm-hmm. God is one being, but three persons. And those three persons have unique roles. For example, the Father didn't die on the cross. The Spirit didn't die on the cross. Jesus died on the cross.
That's right.
You have different roles for different members of the Godhead, but they all have the same purpose. They all have the same direction. They all have the same will. All are one.
That's right. And if you acknowledge the Son, he says, you have the Father also.
And having in John doesn't mean per se that a person is born again. What it means is the person is in fellowship with. So to say to have the Son is to have the Father is to say if you are in fellowship with Jesus, you're also in fellowship with God the Father. But if you're not in fellowship with Jesus, then you're not in fellowship with God the Father.
All right, so having is a fellowship term here.
It is.
Because that's what the whole 1 John is about. It's
right.
About fellowship, the conditions of not how to be born again, but how to be in this fellowship with God. Okay, let's go to verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. Well, the fact that he's talking about hearing means that is a teaching, is the word.
Yes.
Right? So let that teaching abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, remember Jesus talked about his word abiding in us. So
right.
This, again, this is Bible doctrine. This is why it's so important for you to be in a Bible church that teaches Bible doctrine, that explains grace clearly, because knowing the truth is absolutely essential to growing in the Christian faith. If you're just hearing mush, popular kind of pop psychology every week, you will not grow. You need to have these words abiding in you.
And let me make a quick comment there. By Bible church, you don't mean a church that has the words Bible church in its name. Because there are churches with the words Bible church in their name that really aren't Bible churches.
Right. I mean a church that teaches the Word of God that's dispensational, that is conservative, that teaches the faith alone message, that teaches believers are eternally secure. There's just some lines in the sand that you need to look for in a church.
Right.
So if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. So in other words, if you have this truth, this doctrine, this word in your life, and you are applying it in your life, then you will abide in the Son and the Father.
Right. And basically where John's going with all of this is all a warning not to be misled by the Antichrist. That's what all this is about. You need to abide in the solid doctrine you've been taught, because if you veer off with the false teachers, you're no longer going to abide in Christ or in the Father. It's sad that a person can go from one false teaching to another false teaching, but even sadder is a person who abides in the truth and gets misled and ends up falling away from fellowship with God.
And by the way, I think this next verse, verse 25, is one of probably the first question that you need to ask if you're investigating any church, whether it's the Church of Latter-day Saints or the Mormons, and please go to apologetics websites to look up why you should never go to those two churches. But in verse 25, John says this, "And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life." The promise of eternal life. If your church does not get that right, find another one.
Exactly. And what he means here is what Jesus said in John 11:26, "He who lives and believes in me shall never die." That once we have everlasting life, we have it forever. Sometimes it's called once saved, always saved. Sometimes it's called eternal security, which, by the way, is better than social security, which is going to fail eventually, right?
Right.
But the truth is, this is the promise, and they need to cling to that promise because the very next verse, the false teachers are denying the promise.
And we're going to look at that next verse in the next episode. But for now, why don't you go to our website, faithalone.org/store, and look up a book. It's called The Epistles of John. It's a commentary by Zane Hodges, Walking in the Light of God's Love. You can pick it up there at a very reasonable price. I think it's less than $9. It will really open up to you the Word of God and the principles that you should be living by in order to have fellowship with God. So tune in next time as we continue our series through 1 John.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for that great description of denying Christ, which comes for me both as a warning but also an encouragement. The Grace Evangelical Society is the organization that puts together this program, and we exist to try to clarify these sometimes confusing concepts that are in the Bible. If you've found our broadcast valuable, I hope you'll let us know. You can contact us at radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners. Whether you have questions or comments about topics that you'd like to hear on the show, or you just want to let us know how we're doing, we really appreciate feedback. In addition to that, you might like to look over some of the resources that we have on our website. We've got lots of free stuff just sitting there waiting for you to take it in. Our website is faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all kinds of materials that can help you grow and mature in your faith. Well, tomorrow on the program, we've got an interesting show lined up. We're going to talk about what is at stake when we listen to false teachers. And that promises to be an interesting discussion, so I hope you'll tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.